Good evening, everyone. Welcome. It is Sunday, the 20th of March, and tonight's live stream is Ascension. As you gathered from my posting in Band, and Kathleen posted two of the magazine covers, we are going to be talking quantum mechanics. The last couple of live streams, we were discussing CERN, and we brought in the subject of quantum mechanics and quantum computing specifically. I want to carry over from that. I'll do a little transition, a little segue from CERN, but we are going to reflect back on the two and perhaps even three issues of Entangled Magazine from April, May, and June of 2019 to try to provide us a little bit of background as to what is going on with quantum computing. And as I always merge the two together, artificial intelligence, also known as machine learning. This is going to carry us through 3 days of live streams, today, Tuesday, and Thursday. And we will get progressively deeper into the terminology and some of the systems that are going on. But right from the beginning, I want to provide to you the reason for this, the reason for this discussion. And I think the best way for me to provide that reason, that tangible, what's in it for you and me reason to even discuss quantum computing and artificial intelligence beyond what we already know and what we're exposed to, I'd like to give you this sort of analogy, sort of storyline. I was thinking back to the many times that I have made reference to the Model T from Ford Motor Company and Henry Ford himself and the building of the Model T and the bringing in the advent of the assembly line process in the factory of really bringing to the forefront the concept of parts that are interchangeable. So if you had a water pump from one Ford Model T and you needed to replace the water pump on another, you could swap the two and they would fit. This seems like common sense to us. It's intuitive to us nowadays, but this takes us even back into the Civil War era. And in the area that Kathleen and I live in New Hampshire, is really the starting point of this concept of parts interchangeability, the ability to swap identical parts between identical models of, in the Civil War, rifles. Up to that point, machine operations, machine learning, if you will, artificial intelligence, resided within the mind of the machinist. And here in New Hampshire, on the Connecticut River, they brought the best machinists together for the purpose of standardizing parts for Civil War era rifles and pistols. And this was a radical new concept in manufacturing, in machining. And so they put their heads together and they decided amongst these journeyman level machinists, how could they standardize their knowledge such that it could not only produce parts that could be interchanged between one rifle and another, one pistol and another, be able to repair in the field, in the battlefield, with spare parts? Again, a radical concept. They put their heads together and they decided to standardize the parts. Even though one may feel, well, this design's a little better than this design, the goal was to standardize. So it was a collaborative effort and it was a compromise of designs to arrive at single designs of single parts for single models of weapons. So this was the kernel, this was the beginning of artificial intelligence, of machine learning that developed into algorithms of artificial intelligence. It's taking what humans knew and standardizing it. Then from that point, they were able to pass on that knowledge to their apprentice, their ranks of apprentices, who then would grow up through the trade into a journeyman level. And so this served as a way to teach younger generations. They didn't have to learn a lot of different ways. They could learn a standard way. Now this takes us to fast forward from the Civil War era to the era of the Model T and takes us to Henry Ford. He was not the first one to have an assembly line, but he was really the first one to have incorporated standardized parts into an assembly line. So you now have two paradigm changing concepts: standardization of parts for interchangeability and repair, and the other, the assembly line, in which you could quantify the actions of humans down to very efficient, very time sensitive operations in a moving assembly line, in which they had to complete a specific set of tasks that they were taught, standardized tasks with standardized parts, meeting a certain criteria of time in which they would perform one or more tasks before the assembly line moved past their fixed station and they began the process again, and they would repeat it. To my way of thinking, what a horrible way to live. What a horrible way to make a living. But in that era, it was a way to make a good living in reasonable factory conditions. And it was predictable. It was sustainable, to use a word from today's vernacular. It was a sustainable form of income. And it was something that employees could come to rely upon. So there were some trade-offs. Now I mention all of that because I want to take you to computing, classical computing. Imagine in the time of Henry Ford that somehow introduced into that factory environment were the likes of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, bringing their software, bringing their hardware, bringing their classical computing, hardware and software programming and software operating systems to Henry Ford and saying, look what we have to offer to you. How radical of a change in the way that Henry Ford would view the world. Not just paradigm changing, but changing all of society. Up to that point, Henry Ford and then his follow-on, other manufacturers, not just in automobiles, but certainly in weapons of war, but also in household goods and eventually refrigerators and things like that, radically, Henry Ford changed the world, changed at first American society, societal structures, ways that people related to one another, changed the family structure, because now you had a steady income, you had a breadwinner who could count on it, the family could make plans, they could buy a home, they could enter into contracts for credit. Again, a radical paradigm change. Credit. Yes, it existed in some forms throughout history. But credit being extended because the banker knew that the person was employed in a steady job at a manufacturing site. This changed society. Look what happened when Bill Gates and Steve Jobs introduced their technologies into society. And this began in the early 70s, but really it was 1980 when the first Macintosh was released. We had the Compact and some others before that, but it really wasn't until the Macintosh from Apple really hit. And then the operating systems really began to take form through Microsoft with the PC, the personal computer. The whole concept of taking a room-sized computer, a mainframe, and bringing it down to something that would be a desktop-sized computer that would bring it to the masses, just like the Model T. Up until then, only the very wealthy could afford an automobile. Most everyone at the time of the Model T still operated horse and buggy. That changed overnight. The working man could afford to buy a Model T. The working man could afford to buy a computer. Radically changed society. And then when we started communicating through email, this was in 1989, 90, and 91, email started. Moved out of the scientific emailing environment and moved into the mainstream. Radically changed our communication. And this fast forwarded into social media in the early 2000s. These are touch points. And most of you are as old as I am. And you've lived through these, not the Model T, I'm not talking about that far back. But we have lived through these societal changes due to computing. Take all of that knowledge of societal upheaval and apply that to the time of Henry Ford. And what would that have done to the world? I provide all of that background scenario because I would like you to have a touch point, a point of reference that you can easily understand. Again, I'm not being condescending. I'm right on the same level with all of you here in trying to come to grips with and understand with each other. Already. And it's only begun, it's only a taste that we have, but already the radical impact that quantum computing / artificial intelligence, the two are merged, have already had upon the world, already upon societal structures, already upon our everyday walk of life. You see, the difference between classical computing when Jobs and Gates brought it forth in the early 80s to mainstream Americans, mainstream people around the world, was that the classical computer, you could touch. It was on your desk. You could work the keyboard and eventually you could work the mouse. You could see how it was affecting your life. It was right there on the screen in front of you. This is not the case with quantum computing. Quantum computing has already radically changed our world, but it has done so in the background. You and I do not interface with a quantum computer by keyboard, by mouse, by voice, by any form of communication. And yet it is in the background, and specifically the tangible example of how in the background it is changing society is through artificial intelligence. Think about just your interaction with your classical computer and the many times that we have noted that ads pop up based upon our search criteria, or even more insidiously, ads pop up based upon a private conversation that has taken place in your own home, not on a computer keyboard, not in a voice interaction with your computer, but just strictly a vocal conversation that then imparts ads and videos being suggested, as it's known, suggested to you on your computer screen. That is AI working in the background. That's through that arm of surveillance. ...1984 has nothing on what you and I are experiencing today. I just want to, as we begin this dive tonight and the two follow-on live streams, bear two things in mind. In the background, quantum computing slash AI is always at work. It is inescapable. You apply for a loan, you apply for a credit card, you go out to purchase a new vehicle, you are entering information into your healthcare records. All of that is driven by AI now, by quantum computing and artificial intelligence that is looking at all of that data. And we are going to look at data tonight. This is why I asked you to look at the two previous editions of Entangled magazine. We're going to add to that. So we have, back in 2019, April and May and June. So that's sort of your homework assignment. If you haven't had a chance to look at those three editions, certainly please look at them before Tuesday, because we're going to do a deep dive. I'm not going to be very repetitive from that, but it gives you the background as to what we're going to be looking at in the present time from 2019 coming to 2022. What is it that we talked about in 2019 that now is directly out front and we're seeing and is changing society, changing our lives? But as I said, this working in the background of quantum computing and AI, what needs to be understood, that's number one, that it's ever present. You cannot escape it. But number two, what is quantum computing, quantum mechanics? What is it based upon spiritually? Because you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual. So what is the spiritual aspect to this? That takes us to Ascension, the title of tonight's live stream. Not in a New Age way, although I'm going to reference that right now. We are going to be talking about the ascension of Jesus Christ and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. But number two, quantum computing and AI, always ever-present, working in the background. Number two is the origin of that quantum computing and AI. Let me put up a graphic for you. This is the June edition of Entangled magazine, June 2019. In the upper right-hand corner are the 16 basic figures of geomancy. At the bottom, of course, is the Star of David. In the upper left corner is the Tree of Life, according to the Kabbalist's viewpoint of the Tree of Life. And we're going to reference this. And at the bottom is an example of an algorithm, the diagram of an algorithm of an artificially intelligent system, a Boltzmann machine. There are other AI systems. I'm just simply in this issue highlighting the Boltzmann machine because this is used at CERN for data analysis, for pattern recognition, for the discovery of those golden nuggets of data. Quantum computing is all about pattern recognition in big data. The golden nuggets are the pattern, which are then employed for predicting the future. The ever-present quantum computing AI, its source, its design, its spiritual influence, its inspiration comes from the Tree of Life as viewed by the Kabbalists. Quantum mechanics is nothing more than the representation of the Kabbalist belief system as to how the universe is constructed and how it operates. At the very top, the topmost sphere, the topmost sephirot, is Keter. And we will go and look at that. But I wanted you to appreciate right here, and there are many, many diagrams of artificially intelligent mathematical calculus-driven algorithms that are operated by quantum computing that look like this Boltzmann machine on the cover of the June edition of Entangled magazine. All of the algorithms that are diagrammed for all of the different types, there's recursive, there are recursive neural networks, there are back propagation. If you look at the April edition of Entangled magazine, you will see in their list defining the different types of AI algorithm systems. But what I want you to appreciate is that every one of those diagrams are the tree of life in one form or another. So if any of you have that background and you have that exposure and you are familiar with the diagramming of AI systems, with their filters and their layers and their input and their output and their back feedback, back propagation and iterative processes and neuromorphic processes, all of those diagrams, if you've been looking at those over the years and you've not made the connection to the tree of life from the Kabbalist viewpoint, look at it with fresh eyes now. And because this is Kabbalist driven, it is a prejudice by definition. It is a prejudiced paradigm of our reality. Our reality is being influenced by the Kabbalists' description of reality by describing it through the algorithms of AI. AI is nothing more than different snapshots of how the Kabbalists view reality. If you want, they're snapshots of how the brain operates, how it's wired, how it connects, how it operates, how it inputs and outputs. And we've covered that. But it is absolutely important to again, going back to Henry Ford and the Model T, what would have happened to society in those days had Gates and Jobs introduced their technology at that time in history, what that would have done in terms of upheaval in all stratifications of society around the world. That's the impact of quantum computing and AI today. But it's in the background. It's not up front and tangible, and it's not intuitive. But as you've been with me for all of these years, since 2013, I've been talking about quantum computing and artificial intelligence. You can appreciate, since 2013, and you've been listening to me all these years, just how radically different the world is today in 2022 compared to January of 2013, when we first started on this pathway. That's nothing. What we know now, what we're aware of, what we're seeing, what is tangible to us in how society has changed. And the biggest one that is the most tangible is COVID-19. Modeled in a computer, output, and the pharmaceuticals, which we will touch on as we progress over the next 3 days. Look at how radically the world has changed just since January of 2020. That's Henry Ford, the Model T, Bill Gates, and Steve Jobs. That's what this whole COVID pandemic has resulted in. I want you to be able to step back, sit back on Patch Airlines at 144,000 foot elevation and be able to reflect back over the last 2.5 years and look at how the world has changed. As you do that retrospective, appreciate those two things. AI/quantum computing is one that's been in the background. They didn't show us that they were going to in silico design a new novel virus, in silico design their novel vaccines. They didn't show us that. They didn't tell us, but that was all working in the background for years leading up to January of 2020 when this was dropped on the world. That's Henry Ford and the Model T. Now, add to that your understanding that what has been behind all of this radical change since January of 2020 is the Kabbalist agenda. And in short, the Kabbalist agenda is reflected by the statue of Shiva at CERN. Laying waste of everything, destroying the known universe, and then rebuilding it from the ground up. That's what Shiva represents. This is reflected in the words of Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum, and all of the players, including Putin, all of the players in the World Economic Forum. All of that is driven by the Kabbalist agenda, which is the same agenda that is personified in the statue of Shiva. It's one and the same. This is how insidious all of this background operating system of the Kabbalist has been. Infiltration, indoctrination, manipulation. Infiltration, indoctrination, manipulation. The three stages of bringing the paradigm of quantum mechanics to the world. First through academia and then into the corporate arena. This is serious stuff, but not to fear. I'd like to take you to John chapter 14. We're going to read the entire chapter. With what I just presented to you in the opening monologue, please listen to this from the King James. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. This is our hope. This is our source of joy. This destroys all of this psychological game that is at work by the Kabbalists, the WEF, and even CERN, and the Bill Gates, and the late Steve Jobs of the world. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how we can know the way. And how can we know the way? Question mark. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, there's no Kabbalist ascension to Ein Sof, the guidehead, to Keter, the state of perfection. There's none of that. They want to promote this tree of life, this ascension through the Kundalini spirit, not the Holy Spirit, to the Godhead. You don't get to God, the Father, except through Jesus Christ. But the Kabbalists will not tell you that. They want to say that it is through quantum mechanics, artificial intelligence, that man will achieve godlike status. What's in it for you and I is that we already understand the truth. We understand that the only way to God, to the Father, is through Jesus Christ. We know that. And yet the rest of the world cannot see it and cannot hear it. That's the influence of the Kabbalists through academia with quantum mechanics. This is why we need to understand quantum mechanics, because when you reverse the quantum mechanics, you see the agenda of the Kabbalists, which is a spiritual agenda, which is to destroy God's creation from within. That's what's in it for you and I. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father, and he whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, we don't need a false religion. We only need Jesus Christ. We don't need the false religion of science. We only need Jesus Christ. We do not need the false science of the tree of life. We only need Jesus Christ. And yet the world is pushing the false religion of science, to believe in science, to have faith in the science. And we're left with the Anthony Faucis of the world. Verse 15, If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So important. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is why the strong delusion. They did not seek the Father through Jesus Christ. They did not seek the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And they are left blind, deaf, and dumb with science. Science is blind, deaf, and dumb, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. Those who do not have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in them, they're hollow, they're empty, they are shells. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So in the times of quantum computing and AI, in the times of the Kabbalist infiltration, indoctrination, manipulation, in the face of that, he does not leave us comfortless. He has come to us. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. You shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You see, this is interchangeable. He is physically in us. We are physically in him. We are part of the Father. We are part of the Creator. Our DNA is intact. We are as we were first created. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This is why the world doesn't understand what's going on, and yet you do. Because the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. This is the increase in knowledge. This is why the world doesn't understand you and I. We understand the world because we're given that insight. We understand the way they are, the way that they think. It frustrates us, but we know why. But it's not the other way around. They have no comprehension of what we understand, of the insights that we possess. No comprehension of it. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. That's what's coming right now upon the world, the prince of this world. And that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now there's a commentary I would like to read to you on the Lord's ascension. This is from James Foote. I'll read this quickly. I won't spend a lot of time diverting with my own commentary. Number one, the circumstances of our Lord's ascension. Number one, the time. not until he had appeared to his disciples frequently and conversed with them freely. He tarried with them 40 days to convince them of his resurrection, to instruct them in the knowledge of the truth, and to encourage them to steadfastness in the cause of the gospel. Number two, the place of his ascension. I should mention, this is from the Bible Hub, this commentary by James Foote. The place of his ascension, Mount Olivet. This was a place to which he frequently resorted for secret prayer. So also the bed of sickness, though the believer may endure much agony there, is generally the spot whence his soul, released from trouble, ascends to the joys of heaven. Number three, the ascension of Christ took place in the presence of numerous witnesses. There was no necessity for any persons being present when our Lord rose from the dead, because his appearing after his resurrection to those who knew him before his crucifixion was a sufficient proof of his resurrection. Number four, another circumstance of which we are informed is that this event took place while our Lord was employed in blessing the disciples. By this action, he showed the strength and the duration of his affection for his disciples. Number five, we are told in Acts 1:9 that a cloud received him out of their sight. Clouds are frequently mentioned in Scripture as a medium through which the Lord in some degree manifested himself to men. And number six, the last circumstance we have to notice is that our Lord's ascension was attended by angels. Part two, section two, it ends, or the chief purposes for which he ascended. Number one, Christ ascended in order to send down the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number two, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven in order to make intercession for his people. Number three, Jesus Christ ascended in order that he might receive infinite power, happiness, and glory as the reward for his humiliation. He is set down on his throne of glory to exercise dominion over the universe, but especially over his church. Number four, our Lord ascended into heaven that he might prepare a place for his followers and bring them home. Bring them home to himself. Section three, having considered the chief circumstances and ends of our Lord's ascension, we now come to consider in the last place the practical effects which the consideration of the event should produce on us. Number one event, it should lead us to pay the Redeemer that divine homage which is so justly due to his name. Number two, it becomes us to rejoice on account of our Lord's ascension. Number three, our Lord's ascension should lead us unhesitantly to trust in him for salvation. Number four, Christ's ascension should encourage us to engage with liveliness in religious exercises. Number five, the consideration of our Lord's ascension should raise our thoughts and affections to heaven. And finally, number six, our Lord's ascension should carry forward our thoughts to his second coming. That's right on the threshold, right on the horizon, is his second coming. So I hope that's encouraging for you. In the face of everything that I present here regarding the Kabbalist's agenda for the world, it is not the agenda for you and I. And therefore we discount it completely and we find no fear in it. It simply represents the nearness of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look at these technologies, as we understand their mechanisms, we understand their nuts and bolts, we understand how the world is operating, why it operates the way it does, why the paradigm change in societal structures why this has happened, because these are the mechanisms of the Kabbalist agenda. This helps us to make sense of what is going on. Certainly, we understand it is not of God. It is not operating outside of God's plan, but this source material, this societal upheaval is not of God, but it is in prophecy. It is prophetic. This is simply the days of Noah being repeated. It is Satan's embrace and imparting of modern technologies. His attempt to achieve that which he failed to achieve in the days of Noah. Because it is being repeated, God is bringing it to an end. Evil is being given its opportunity to play out to the limit that God set forth. And he set it forth to his limit so that he could do away with, he could abolish, he could wipe out evil once and for all, that it could never rise in any form again. We are the final generation that understands that, and we are witnessing it play out right now, and we know that the time is near for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By way of segue, I'd like to take you back a little bit to CERN with regarding quantum technology. Again, bearing in mind the agenda of CERN is reflected in the Kabbalist statue of Shiva. Yes, people want to think that this is Hindu. Understand that this is Kabbalist. CERN meets quantum technology. This is from CERN's own website. This is dated 30 September of 2020 by Matthew Chalmers. The CERN Quantum Technology Initiative will explore the potential of devices harnessing perplexing quantum phenomena, such as entanglement, to enrich and expand its challenging research program. Now, in a nutshell, I've mentioned to you many times, quantum computing is applied to the vast amounts of data that are produced by way of the collisions that occur within the Large Hadron Collider. Within that vast amount of data, they are employing quantum computing to recognize patterns within the data, the golden nuggets of data. In this case, those golden nuggets are new, never seen before particles in physics. New primary particles that make up atoms and make up molecules. The nuggets literally are particles in particle physics that they are trying to identify the signature of those particles, which is comprised of its energy signature, its resting mass, and its trajectory, its movement post-collision within the detector. And I gave you all that background in the last two live streams about the detectors and about what I just described, which is in sum total described or labeled as luminosity. So it is within that luminosity they are trying to discover the data that represents that luminosity, which is trajectory, energy, and rest mass of new particles. Those nuggets are new particles that have a signature, a luminosity signature. And that signature is described in zeros and ones of big data coming out of the detectors. They're digital cameras, pixelating charged coupled devices. That's what the detectors are. So the quantum technology is pattern recognition that leads to the prediction of the existence of new particles that they describe as new physics. There are two primary categories in physics. There is theoretical physics and experimental. The theoretical is the mathematics, if you will. It is the thought experiment as it is described in the scientific literature. Think of Einstein and people like him who are using only their mind to theorize about quantum mechanical events, quantum particles, quantum energy releases, quantum states. And understand, I'm only using Einstein because he's so familiar as an example of thought experimentation in physics. But he was not a big fan of quantum mechanics. He really was not drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak. As people like Niels Bohr and others that followed on, understand that Einstein didn't buy into all of this nonsense. But he's an example of an experimental physicist, a theoretician. Now, the experimental physicist is the guy in the laboratory building all of the prototypical benchtop machines that you see and running a particular specific experiment that is based upon the theory in the thought experiment of the experimental physicist, okay? So there is the experimental physicist who says, hey, let's build a machine, a Large Hadron Collider, that will run the experiment to prove the existence of a predicted particle, a predictive phenomenon, a predictive luminosity. Okay? Quantum computing is very good at pattern recognition, which is the essence of geomancy. Geomancy is pattern recognition from data points. And from pattern recognition in geomancy and in quantum computing at CERN, you are then able to make predictions, prognostications. For the geomantic diviner, it was about prognosticating auspicious or inauspicious future times, future dates, to either take action or not take action. In the quantum physics arena of geomancy, geomantic pattern recognition and prediction, prognostication, it is prognosticating the future discovery of a theoretical particle. Now, you won't find your average experimental physicist or theoretical physicist or experimental physicist describing what they do in the way that I just described it. The reason is they do not want to give away the spiritual, which is the Kabbalist, the spiritual paradigm. The paradigm of their physics, having been prescribed, that paradigm, their theoretical and experimental, their physical physics, quantum mechanical physics, particle physics, calculus-driven physics, they do not want to publicly reveal to you and I that their view of reality, their view of the universe, their view of quantum mechanics, the operation of the particles that make up our physical reality, as well as the energy that makes up our reality, they do not want to acknowledge the spiritual side of that. That their mind, their model, their mental model by which they operate in their world of physics, their mental model is prescribed by the Kabbalist Tree of Life model of the universe, how it is structured. This is why AI is structured as the Tree of Life, the Boltzmann machine, as one example. But it is how that Tree of Life operates. Those 10 sephirots, those characteristics of a person and a person's life, a person's mind, a person's way of thinking, a person's view of reality is all shaped by those sephirots. And it is the ascension from the base to the top, to Keter, to the godlike status, through the Kundalini spirit influence. They will not, the physicists will not acknowledge the Kundalini spirit at work within their mind, within their spirit. They will not acknowledge that Kundalini spirit. But when you understand that spirit, you then see the unfolding of their paradigm. You then see from within the world of physics how it is that they first come up with their thought experiments, their theoretical, and then how they employ that theoretical thought experiment into a physical experiment, an experimental machine. The Large Hadron Collider is the outgrowth of that. It is the largest, most complex, most expensive machine in recorded human history. It is to the Kabbalist the ultimate expression of their Kundalini spirit in a physical form, the Large Hadron Collider. That entire monologue I just delivered to you can be summed up by looking at the statue of Shiva. That tells the whole story. That tells you the agenda. That tells you their beginning and their end point in their thought experiments and in their physical experimentation. It tells you the reason for building the machine. It shows you the end result of building the machine. As I shared with you in the last live stream, it is the opening of the doorway to the abyss. That is laying waste, that is destroying everything that God has created, which is the goal of Satan, reflected in the statue of Shiva, the goal of Satan. The spirit of Satan, the Kundalini spirit, at work in that statue has led to the mental influence of every single person associated with CERN and the Large Hadron Collider. That spirit is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not build an LHC. Only the Kundalini spirit would build the LHC. You only have one or the other. God does not need a particle collider. He has, as I shared with you in the last live stream, accelerated particles moving through the universe that enter through our atmosphere and collide with particles in our atmosphere. That is a natural particle accelerator and collider created by God. Satan, because he can only counterfeit that which God has created already, counterfeits that which is happening in the heavens. What is happening in the air? Okay, principalities, right? He's duplicating that in the form of this Large Hadron Collider. Again, the physicists will acknowledge what they're doing in colliding particles reflects exactly, but on a larger scale, what is happening in the Earth's atmosphere. They'll acknowledge that part, but they will not acknowledge the Kundalini spirit that influences every one of their minds. They don't see it. They are blind, deaf, and dumb to that spiritual influence. But you and I, understanding Kabbalist viewpoint, understanding the Kabbalist agenda, understanding now the quantum mechanical outworking of the Kabbalist agenda, infiltration, indoctrination, manipulation into academia, and then carried into the corporate world, that is the paradigm of today. This is the Model T, Henry Ford, here comes Gates and Jobs, upsetting the paradigm of the world in the Model T era. Doing that with quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and quantum mechanics right here in the background, but manifesting in what we have already seen. And that is only a taste of what is to come. When this machine succeeds in opening the doorway to the abyss as God prescribes in His Word, nothing has ever happened in the existence of mankind such as will manifest coming forth through the doorway to the abyss. It will be unlike anything that has ever happened to mankind and this planet. And it is clearly articulated in the book of Revelation. Let's go back to this article. Today's information and communication technology grew out of the invention and development of quantum mechanics during the last century. But nifty as it is that billions of transistors can be packed into your smartphone, or that photons are routed around the planet with the help of lasers, the devices underpinning the first quantum revolution merely rely on the weird properties of quantum mechanics. They don't put them to use directly. The CERN Quantum Technology Initiative, QTI, which was announced by CERN Director General Fabiola Giannotti in June, sees CERN join a rapidly growing global effort, that was June of last year, and she is a Jesuit, by the way, sees CERN join a rapidly growing global effort to bring about a second quantum revolution. Remember the Model T scenario as I'm reading this to you. To bring about a second quantum revolution whereby phenomena such as superposition and entanglement, which enable an object to be in two places at the same time or to influence another instantaneously, are exploited to build new computing, communication, sensing, and simulation devices. It is difficult to predict the impact of such quantum technologies on society. But for high-energy physics and CERN, the benefits are clear. They include advanced computing algorithms to cope with future data analysis challenges, ultra-sensitive detectors to search for hidden sector particles and gravitational waves, and the use of well-controlled quantum systems to simulate or reproduce the behavior of complex many-body quantum phenomena for theoretical research. Though relatively new to the quantum technology scene, CERN is in the unique position of having in one place the diverse set of skills and technologies, including software, computing and data science, theory, sensors, cryogenics, electronics, and material science necessary for such a multidisciplinary endeavor. Now, let me just stop there. I need to share with you another graphic. Now, I brought this up in, I believe it was June of 2014. Please look at the graphics on your screen. The one on the left is familiar to you. I shared this on the last two live streams. This is a schematic. This is actually one of the computer-generated screens in the control room at CERN itself. It is a diagram of the pre-accelerators and then the main ring itself. This is the super proton synchrotron, the last accelerator that then injects into the main ring pre-accelerated particles moving in opposite directions. One beam line moves counterclockwise while the other moves clockwise. On the right-hand side, you see another graphic. This is a graphic of a specific type of quantum computer chipset, a processor. This is from D-Wave. There's an ion trap type of quantum processor, and there is a photonic, using photons, type of quantum processor. I want to share with you the D-Wave superconducting quantum entangled quantum processor that utilizes what is known as an insulator labeled as a Josephson junction. Okay, so beginning down here with the small circle, you'll see the word insulator. That's a Josephson junction that is connecting this superconducting niobium wire. Okay, look at your to the left, the super proton synchrotron, SPS, the last particle accelerator in the line of accelerators leading up to the main ring. It injects in opposite directions accelerated protons. Also, they can do ions of lead and gold, but protons primarily in the early experiments. They are injecting in opposite directions protons into the main ring. Look at the graphic on the right. You have circulating current in red, moving counterclockwise, in purple, moving clockwise, opposite directions around a main ring of superconducting niobium wire. The only difference between these two is scale. If you've been listening to me over these many years, you know exactly what I'm laying out for you. On the right is a quantum computer chipset. On the left is the Large Hadron Collider at CERN. They both are quantum mechanical in their design and in their operation. The obvious conclusion is, at CERN, the Large Hadron Collider is operating as a quantum computer, but on a vast scale. Let's look at the superconducting wire in the quantum computer, and we've described this in the past. In the quantum computer, this is niobium. In the superconducting magnets of the main ring, they are made up of niobium, some people pronounce it that way. A superconducting wire for the magnets at CERN, for the magnets of the D-Wave quantum computer. Identical, superconducting, both cryogenically cold to within a few millikelvin above absolute zero, colder than outer space at CERN and with the quantum computer of D-Wave. They both are quantum computers. I'll let you think about that for a while. That's a trapped ion. We won't go into that. We'll save that for Tuesday. We're going to do a deeper dive into the different kinds of quantum computing chipsets on Tuesday. Just wanted you to appreciate that. With everything that we've said so far about the Kabbalist viewpoint, the Kabbalist quantum mechanics, what their goal is in building these machines. Let's talk about quantum computers. It doesn't matter if it is a D-Wave, an IBM, a Rigetti, it does not matter. These are all interdimensional communications devices. The purpose of the quantum computers is to obtain forbidden knowledge. One of the mechanisms in which forbidden knowledge is obtained is through geomancy, is through quantum computing. Both are the same. Geomantic devices of ancient times and quantum computers today operate identically. The mechanics are the same. Just like the mechanics of the LHC are the same mechanics of the D-Wave quantum computer. The mechanics of ancient geomancy are the same mechanics of the modern day quantum computers, and not just with D-Waves. The obtaining of forbidden knowledge is through the process of interpreting data in the ancient and in the modern, interpreting data points. The ancient was binary, zero and one data points. The modern is binary, zero and one data points. The only difference is the quantity of data. With the increase in the quantity of data, you are able to engage in a divinatory, interdimensional process of interpreting that data. Divination is interpretation of data. It is the recognition of patterns. On a quantum computing scale, we are talking about vast amounts of data, which then include vast quantities of patterns of data. It is the identification of those patterns that results, that identification, that interpretation, that understanding of those patterns, that knowledge of those patterns, is the transfer of knowledge interdimensionally. Those patterns of data are patterns of forbidden knowledge. Each of those golden nuggets of data is a piece of forbidden knowledge. God specifically forbids participating in divination. Why? Because it allows for the transfer of forbidden knowledge. I'm drilling right down to be specific here when I'm saying the data, the patterns embedded in the data, the patterns themselves represent a piece of information. And when you are able, through this modern quantum computer-driven quantum mechanical device, of discovering these patterns, you are then able to interpret, to divine what those patterns are telling you. No different than the diviners in ancient Mesopotamia. It is in passing on information that is understandable to the Kabbalist, to the diviner. Those patterns of zeros and ones are information. That information is forbidden information. The fruits of that forbidden information, I'll give you two examples: COVID-19 and the Large Hadron Collider itself. And there are many, many more. Tuesday and Thursday, I'm going to be diving into, again, computer modeling in the quantum computers, in modern day chemistry, modern day pharmaceuticals, modern day genetics. We've touched on this before, we've talked about it in the past, but we're going to do a deeper dive on Tuesday and Thursday into this quantum computer driven modeling process. A process which is fundamentally changing everything that God has created. That's the goal. That's the attempt. It will not be entirely successful. Jesus cut short the time before they're ultimately successful in changing everything that God has created. There will be changes along the way, but he cut short the days because God and Jesus Christ know the end point. They know the timetable. Therefore, they know the end point, and therefore they know when to intercede. Otherwise, no man would survive. So what's in it for you and I is this understanding of this quantum mechanical data-driven exchange of information that is interdimensional exchange of forbidden knowledge that ultimately would, if God let it play it out to its final fruition, no man would survive. Because Satan hates God's creation. He wants to change everything. The chemistry, the genetics, the metals, the atmosphere, the entire planet itself. He wants to change. I've called it in the past terraforming the planet for a new race of beings. This is what Satan, in his hubris, in his own self-delusional state, wants to achieve. What I'm sharing with you are the nuts and bolts of how he is going about trying to change everything. That's what's in it for you and I. That we understand these processes. We don't need to know them to the degree in which we can write calculus formulae on the board or to go into the experimental laboratory and build complex machines to test the theories of the experimental theorists. Excuse me, the theoretical physicist who passes it on to the experimentalist. We don't need to do that, but we do have to have a semblance of understanding as how is it that the world has become so diluted by science to then view it the way you would view a religion and to worship it in the sense that it has the ability to provide the answers that man seeks through religion. That the new religion of science is providing the answers to man's questions. Thus, it is viewed as a faith. How skewed can man be in his view of the world? It is skewed to the degree that is reflected in the belief system of the Kabbalist. That's how distorted it is. This is what's driving everything at CERN. But they do not want to acknowledge to the world the spiritual influence, that they are under the influence of the Kabbalists, of the Kundalini spirit itself. Let me try to finish this relatively short posting from CERN. Now that I've explained that again, I'm just going to back up one paragraph and read this again, and you will have a greater appreciation for what they're saying. This is where you're applying the patch 180 and turning it around to reveal the truth. It is difficult to predict the impact of such quantum technologies on society, but for high energy physics and CERN, the benefits are clear. They include advanced computing algorithms to cope with future data analysis challenges. ultra-sensitive detectors to search for hidden sector particles and gravitational waves, and the use of well-controlled quantum systems to simulate or reproduce the behavior of complex many-body quantum phenomena for theoretical research. Okay? The path to CERN's quantum technology initiative began with a workshop on quantum computing and high energy physics organized by CERN Open Lab in November of 2018. Now, I mentioned and emphasize that date because it's just on the threshold of COVID. Okay? November 2018, which was followed by several initiatives, pilot projects, and events. During the next 3 years, the initiative will assess the potential impact of quantum technologies on CERN and high energy physics on the time scale of the high luminosity LHC, which is late 2020s, okay? It's specifically 2026 and beyond. Governance and operational instruments are being finalized, and concrete research and development objectives are being defined in the four main quantum technology areas. Number one, computing. Number two, sensing and metrology. Number three, communication. Number four, simulation and information processing. Now, I broke those four out. I want to emphasize this. Model T, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, that kind of a shaking up of the world by classical computers back in the time of Henry Ford. Now the shake up to the world in the present time of quantum computing into all aspects of life. The internet began at CERN. The quantum revolution began at CERN. How? Because of the quantum mechanics employed with the machine, the LHC. The part of the quantum physics at CERN resulted in the quantum physics of the quantum computers. That's why I shared with you the side-by-side diagram of the Large Hadron Collider and the contra-rotating particles and superconducting niobium, and exactly the same thing in the construct of the quantum computers. This is the trickle down. The trickle down from the quantum computers is changing everything in society from the DNA on up. Tuesday, I'm going to be re-emphasizing and diving deeper into modeling using quantum computing. Quantum modeling is what CERN uses to interpret the data from the collisions. Their application of quantum computing for modeling is exactly what is utilized in the in silico design modeling of viruses and pharmaceuticals, along with a lot more. But those are the easy ones for us to keep in the forefront. Okay? So the modeling at CERN carries over into modeling and quantum computing that directly affects the model of society, the modeling of society. Let's go to the WEF. Where do you think they got their model for the reset? They built the model based upon quantum computing capabilities. Those capabilities directly came from CERN's quantum computing capabilities. They will say in their public relations statements, they will say in their papers, it's the other way around. They will lay claim that CERN is bringing in, is adopting quantum computing to assist in their data modeling. as a result of the collisions. The luminosity data, they want to crunch that data using quantum computing. That's backwards. I'm here to tell you, that's backwards. It is not them bringing quantum computers to CERN. CERN pushed the technology out into the academic and then into the commercial corporate arena, pushed quantum computing out from CERN, where in which experimentally they were, the qubits were developed in academia, which then carried over into the startups in quantum computing in the corporate arena, which then are applied at CERN. But understand and appreciate, it started at CERN. It did not start in isolation in academia, in isolation in the corporate arena like D-Wave, and then come to CERN. Quite the opposite. The particle physics of quantum computing had to be worked out at CERN first. The quantum mechanical operation, the opposite direction in the flow of electrons through niobium superconducting wire with Josephson junction, the circle of Josephson junction niobium, which is the same as the circle of the pre-accelerator, the SPS. You see, the physics are the same. The large scale physics was sent to academia for reducing in scale and then adopted into the corporate arena at that reduced scale, which then produced the physical quantum computers. But make no mistake, that quantum computing process of electrons moving in opposite directions at the same time, inducing superposition of zeros and ones, as represented by, induced by the superposition of electrons moving in opposite directions through the superconducting wire, which then became quantum entangled superposition states, quantum entangled electrons within the Large Hadron Collider itself. That entanglement, that superposition, that superconductivity, all of that transfer of that technology first was proven experimentally utilizing the LHC. Then that data transfer took place to the universities and the corporate environment. I don't think anybody else has ever said these words to you. If you've listened to me all these years, you've heard these words before. Now look, I'm not trying to pontificate here. I'm simply saying this is an example of the working of the Holy Spirit in revealing the knowledge and making everything known. I take no credit for this. I'm simply the conduit of this information out to all of you. And the insidious spiritual nature of this, this Kundalini spirit, this statue of Shiva, bear that in mind. And those of you that are out there that read the scientific journals and read the peer-reviewed papers and read the papers that are published out of CERN itself, bear in mind when you read this, this is the spirit of the Kundalini spirit. This is the Kabbalist spirit that is producing all of these scientific papers and describing these quantum mechanical phenomena. And then the machines like the detectors. Understand where all of that emanates from, its etiology, its spiritual origins. Then you have the ability to understand why the entire world, despite the fact that we have a quasi-war going on, as I'm calling it, with respect to the Ukraine. Despite the fact that we have COVID-19, despite the fact that we have runaway inflation around the world, that we have a supply chain system that is collapsing. Despite all of that, CERN operates in isolation, has no lack of funding, has no supply chain breakdown, is on their timetable, moving towards the opening of the doorway to the abyss, the laying waste of everything, and starting new, the Kabbalist paradigm, reflected in the statue of Shiva. It operates despite what's going on in the rest of the world. So from 144,000 foot perspective, you have to ask the question, how is it? How is it that they are able to operate with, relatively speaking, and maybe even absolute impunity with regard to what is happening to the rest of the world, the rest of society? Why are the privileged few at CERN and connected to CERN, the other 160 laboratories around the world that feed their technologies into CERN, and then all of the suppliers, all of the manufacturers, building ultra-precise, ultra-powerful devices? How is it that they're able to do that? How is it that governments around the world that are struggling with inflation, struggling with deficit spending, struggling with wars and rumors of wars, how is it that they are still able to send scientists, researchers, engineers, who all collaborate and send their financial support into the billions of dollars? How are they able to continue to do that while the rest of the global society collapses? Why do they have that special privilege? What is driving that special privilege? What makes them so special? It's the agenda. It's the goal of that agenda. The focal point for CERN is opening the doorway to the abyss. To you and I, it's plain and simple to understand that goal. We read it in Revelation. To the rest of the world, they're blind, deaf, and dumb to this. The ascension that they seek is Keter, the godlike status, the 11th Sephirot at the top of the tree. They believe that by opening the doorway to the abyss that they will achieve immortality. That's what's been promised to them. Why, in the Kabbalist viewpoint, would you lay waste to the entire universe and then rebuild it? Order out of chaos. Because you are promised immortality in that new reality, in that new universe. Why would you want to digitally upload yourself to a quantum computer? Why would you want your DNA changed so that you are able to, through quantum entanglement, interface your brain with that of a quantum computer / AI? Why would you? Because this is the promise of artificial intelligence achieving godlike immortality status. That's what's behind this. This is why they want to open the doorway. They truly believe that ye shall be as gods. That's the Kundalini spirit speaking to them. So they are more than happy to self-destruct, as they demonstrated in their video Symmetry. They are more than happy to self-destruct their machine because it opens the doorway to the abyss and they achieve immortality. They don't care about the rest of humanity. They don't care about slaughtering a third of mankind, as it says in Scripture. They would like to slaughter all of mankind, except the so-called elite few who feel that they themselves are privileged. This is why you have this haughty attitude of those that operate in the rarefied environments of the scientists at CERN and those that collaborate from around the world that believe that science holds all the solutions. They have their undying faith in their science, because the Kundalini spirit has indoctrinated them into believing that they can achieve immortality through science. And this promotes that attitude that all of you have encountered with the ilk of these types of scientists. They feel that they are above the rest of humanity, that they are the uber intelligence, that they know best for humanity, that they can change humanity genetically, that they can change the way that we think, that they can change our consciousness, that they can even change our spirit. They believe that they know best, that they know better than God, our Father, our Creator, better than our intercessor, Jesus Christ, that they are more intelligent than the Holy Spirit. And so they move blindly and deathly to their form of ascension. And that's what the Kabbalists call it, ascending to Keter, to godlike status of perfection. And yet they are blind to the influence of the Kundalini spirit. You and I see it. We see it for what it is. We understand it. We know what it is. Tuesday, we will do a deep dive. It will be a technical Tuesday. I have a lot more prepared for you. I've just scratched the surface tonight. I didn't want to overload you with the technology. I just wanted to give you the background to everything that is going forward with the technology I'm going to share with you in the next two live streams. We have a lot to cover. Please review April, May, June 2019 Entangled. We'll draw from that as we start off on Tuesday. Okay? There's no fear in any of this. We are ascending to the right hand of God. We are ascending to the throne. We are ascending to a place that God has prepared for us, that Jesus Christ goes before us to prepare a place for us with the Father. That's what we are ascending to. And we do not need to lay waste to anything and rebuild anything. We don't need a Large Hadron Collider. God bless you all, and good night.